We're all children of a special treat, a miracle of nature that we just call wheat. A crop that's in the Bible, a crop that's in our bread, a crop that's filled our bellies and held us in good stead. Through a history of starvation and times of want and woe, a wheat has been our savior, our grub, our gruel, our dough. There's always lots of problems when we have enough to eat, but there's only one dilemma when there's not enough wheat. We feed you.
Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission. Welcome to the Wheat All About It podcast. Wheat is a miracle plant, and if you're interested in wheat and the forces that affect the wheat industry, then you've come to the right place. Wheat All About It includes interviews, presentations, and yes, even my own musings about our favorite crop. And please, visit our Facebook page where I will post items including photographs of speakers, PowerPoint slides from presentations, as well as information about contests. Search for Wheat All About It! And here we are at Episode 3. Let's call it the Brasher Report. It's devoted entirely to Philip Brasher, a senior editor at AgriPulse, a new generation media outlet. It has a website and membership newsletter for insiders who want the latest information on agricultural policy from the nation's capital. As a former reporter, I have a soft spot for those who still work in journalism, which is why I was particularly looking forward to hearing Brasher speak at the Tri-State Wheat Convention last November. He didn't disappoint. Brasher's background in agriculture, as well as the contacts he's built over his career, make him one of the few journalists who has any real insight into how Donald Trump will treat farmers and agriculture during the next 4 years. Although he is currently based outside of Washington, D.C., the Texas native told his audience of Washington, Idaho, and Oregon wheat growers, their spouses, and associated agribusiness representatives that some of the changes depend on how Congress reacts, but one thing is certain, at least for now, Donald Trump is in the catbird seat.
The Republicans, beginning in January, will be in control of the entire government for the first time in a decade. Republicans are going to have, looks like, 52 seats in the Senate, pending a runoff election in Louisiana. They lost just 2 seats. They lost just a handful of seats in the House. Right now, appears to have about 239. They've had 245, which is a historic high. So this is an incredible run for Republicans.
Brasher said the rural vote, especially in the Midwest, was vitally important to Trump's election and the Republican Party more broadly. The reason behind the support stems directly from today's poor farm economy. From the moment he won the Republican nomination, Brasher said Trump's advisors immediately targeted rural voters.
Talking to the Trump's advisors, this is, again, back in Cleveland at the Republican convention, they knew that to win, they had to really run up the rural vote in states like Iowa and Ohio, Pennsylvania, and as turned out, states like Wisconsin and Michigan as well. They put, this was a big part of putting together the Ag Advisory Team and why they went so hard after that, because they really knew they had to get big margins.
Brasher took his listeners through the election results in 3 Midwestern agricultural counties, pointing out how much stronger the support was for Trump in 2016 than for Romney in 2012. And even in the county where Hillary Clinton won, she did so by less of a margin than Barack Obama did in 2012.
You add all this up, these are just 3 counties and 3 states, but you add all this up, it makes a difference. 1,000 votes here, 2,000 votes here in each one of these counties starts to add up, and it offsets the advantage that Democrats naturally have in states like Wisconsin. You wind up turning a state blue that had not voted Republican since 1988. When a candidate, when a party sees that the rural vote turns out for them, they're going to pay attention. We also may see Democrats try to pay a bit more attention as well.
Brasher pointed to two areas where Trump will clearly make his mark. Thanks to Harry Reid, the former Democratic Senate Majority Leader, who did away with the filibuster rule in order to move Obama's judicial nominees forward, he said that Trump will be able to move more conservative judges to the bench, including the Supreme Court. The other area that's in for a big change, Brasher believes, is regulation. He is certain, for instance, that the waters of the U.S. rule will be rolled back. That won't affect Washington State as much as Midwestern farmers, however, because the Department of Ecology here has already similar rules in place. But there are a lot of other regulations.
The concern about regulations, not just about waters of the U.S., but also about pesticide, labor regulations for those parts of agriculture more dependent on hired labor. But you can see, again, this is a message that has clearly got through to Republicans in Congress and to Democrats. And we heard the Trump campaign, and he talked about this throughout the campaign. I don't need to tell you that the EPA has been more aggressive on issues, particularly the neonicotinoids, the concerns about pollinators. I suspect you'll see some changes there. Also with the glyphosate re-registration is up. Number of pesticide issues could take quite a while. I think you'll also see a slowdown on endangered species issue. I certainly would not expect a sage grouse to be revisited, sage grouse issue to be revisited during the next 4 years.
There are, however, drawbacks for agriculture under a Trump administration. He has been critical of almost all trade deals, including the Trans-Pacific Partnership, called TPP, and the North America Free Trade Agreement, called NAFTA. But while Brasher initially said that TPP is dead, he later indicated in his conversation with Trump allies there might be a willingness to renegotiate the deal. Trump has also dissed President Obama's opening to Cuba. That's a negative for Eastern Washington pulse growers who were hopeful of having access to that market.
His advisors have been sending the signal that and have been saying to me and to others that he might be willing to renegotiate it after he negotiates some changes in it. And obviously, there'll be a lot of interest from agriculture in keeping that alive, particularly the livestock sector, but in other sectors as well. So we'll see, but it doesn't, for the foreseeable future, it doesn't look at all good. Trump, of course, pledged to renegotiate NAFTA. He's not the first candidate to do that and not have it happen. NAFTA, of course, is also a big export market for United States, U.S. agriculture products. Obviously, it'd be a lot of concern if he pushes too hard on NAFTA.
Although many wheat farmers may feel they don't have a dog in the fight over the renewable fuel standard, which mandates how much ethanol made from corn is required to blend into gasoline, the opposite is very much true. Wheat and corn markets move in tandem, so the more corn that can be made to disappear, the better it is for wheat. Some of Trump's early supporters in Iowa want the renewable fuel standard pushed as high as possible.
This will be a very interesting issue to watch because Trump has Governor Branstad from Iowa and a number in the Iowa ethanol industry were very early, very vocal supporters of Trump, very much out in front for him. They want to push the RFS as high as they can. But you're also going to see the energy industry is going to have a lot of influence in this administration and the oil industry. That's going to be a big fight. It could very well wind up being pretty much a status quo with where the Obama administration is.
Although the Obama administration has been in the process of a complete review of biotechnology rules and regulations, that effort will now be handed over to the Trump team, which will make the decisions on how to deal with advanced breeding techniques.
They're going to hand this off to the Trump administration. This is a real minefield. I don't need to tell you. There are concerns in ag, there are concerns outside of, in the food industry and how this is done. The labeling issue, that has to be the GMO disclosure bill that was passed, enacted this summer. That's got to be implemented in the next administration. I think the big impact on there, it's going to be very clear, you're going to see gene editing and those techniques are going to be excluded from the disclosure requirements almost certainly.
Two areas that aren't tied directly to farming but are near and dear to farmers are tax reform and infrastructure. Both of these issues were at the top of Trump's priority list, and Brasher believes a single bill may ultimately address them simultaneously.
Tax reform and infrastructure, we could see a tax reform and an infrastructure bill combined. Trump, couple of issues that Trump has talked about, getting rid of the estate tax on almost a daily basis. And he has made clear that a big infrastructure bill is going to be one of the first issues on his agenda. In fact, it was the only specific policy issue that he brought up. If any of you were up at 3 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast when he gave his speech, his victory speech in New York, it was midnight here. It was the only specific policy issue that he brought up. So, and it's the one area. It's one of those one of the few areas where you could see agreement with Democrats on. So we're going to see a lot of activity, I think, both around tax reform and infrastructure.
Even more important than tax reform and infrastructure for farmers is the Farm Bill. Brasher said it's imperative that agriculture get its act together as quickly as possible and get a new bill passed, potentially in the upcoming Congress, because delay will only mean less money in the long run.
The Farm Bill, there's going to be a push to do it very early. Start going as soon as they get organized in March or April. There's very strong interest and motivation to do this in the next Congress. The money that they have to spend on the Farm Bill depends on what the Farm Bill is projected to cost. It's called the baseline. Because so much money went out through ARC in the first few years of this Farm Bill, because of the way ARC is structured, it's on an Olympic moving average. That average is going down, so ARC payments are going down. The amount of money that's being spent on the commodity title is going down. That means you run that out. That means there's less money to spend on the next Farm Bill because the estimates of the current programs are less. The longer you wait to pass a Farm Bill, the less money there's going to be to work with. So this is a powerful incentive for Congress to get this done as quickly as possible. Or it's a powerful incentive for the agriculture committees to get it done as quickly as possible. If you don't like the Farm Bill, delay it, because there'll be less money for them to spend. Cotton growers are very unhappy with the tax insurance program that they got. They want into the PLC program. That's expensive, it's $1 billion a year. Money's got to come from somewhere, but they want in the program. Some of that may come from peanuts, who really made out well in this bill. The dairy producers are not happy with the margin protection program. Those are two big and expensive issues that Congress needs to address, but there's going to be a lot of pressure on the committees to do something. Conservation is another issue. There are groups that want to increase expand the conservation reserve program. The conservation stewardship program has grown significantly, and obviously there's a lot of support for across the country in agriculture for EQIP. So tremendous pressures on the conservation type.
When it comes to which groups are a particular threat to the Farm Bill, Brasher didn't single out any environmentalists. Instead, he pointed to the House Freedom Caucus of the Republican Party and the Washington, D.C. think tank, the Heritage Foundation.
When I say conservatives are a threat, I'm talking about the House Freedom Caucus. I'm talking about the Heritage Foundation, which is a think tank in Washington that has significant influence with members of the House Freedom Caucus and conservatives in the House. They came out with this summer and proposed to do away with farm subsidies, to phase out farm subsidies entirely. They obviously want to split the farm bill. They will be pushing hard on the House Republicans to do that. They're still going to be there. That's going to very much complicate work for the House Agriculture Committee.
Crop insurance is another area that is likely to become a particular target of farm bill opponents. That's because, as Willie Sutton, the bank robber, said, it's where the money is.
Opponents of crop insurance, critics of crop insurance, came very close to passing an amendment last time that would have. It basically had everything in it, cutting premium subsidies. I believe it would have gotten, probably would have forced public disclosure on crop insurance benefits. It was everything. It was a kitchen sink amendment. And the reason, if you took any one of those pieces away from that amendment, they probably could have passed. Be on guard if crop insurance is important to you.
Obviously, a lot of things for agriculture to watch out for as the U.S. transitions into a Trump presidency. Well, there you have it from the world headquarters of Weed All About It. If you enjoyed the show, tell your neighbors, your landlords, and the associated businesses you work with. And for you young whippersnappers out there, and I'm referring to anyone under the age of 45 as a whippersnapper, help those without your technical skills learn how to access this podcast. Just as wheat farmers have adapted to new technology, we here at Weed All About It are also adapting. This once-a-week podcast series can be found on iTunes under Weed All About It, and also by visiting the Washington Grain Commission at wagrains.org. And don't forget to visit the Weed All About It Facebook page at what else? Weed All About It. Post your questions, accolades, and discouraging words there. Until next time, I'm Scott Yates, hoping you'll tune in again.
We're all children of a special treat, a miracle of nature that we just call wheat. A crop that's in the Bible, a crop that's in our bread, a crop that's filled our bellies and held us in good stead. Through a history of starvation and times of want and woe, wheat has been our savior, our grub, our gruel, our dough. There's always lots of problems when we have enough to eat, but there's only one dilemma when there's not enough wheat. We feed you.